side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Rick Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Tucker boys are cooking down in Caroline. Leonard Skinner's out in Jacksonville. If you didn't catch the Leonard Skinner special last night on Showtime, then you're not in the realm of the Motormouths from Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here in Long Island with your host, Ray Guarino. Co-host and man on the P-Base, Joe D. How are you, Joe?
I'm here. Let me just put this thing down here. It's a little heavy. Gets in the way of the counter there, but I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Cool. I had to move the microphone down. I think the last person in front of this mic must have been like 7'3".
Yeah.
I was doing chin-ups on the friggin' thing trying to get it down.
That could be a problem, I know.
Short people problems, what can I tell you?
Yeah, what are you
going
to do?
So what we got going on today, huh?
Well, I tell you what, people can get a hold of us for a little while. You can call us in the studio at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web at motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Motormouth Radio or Instagram, where some stuff went up yesterday at Real Joe's Favorite _ Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, the swamp cooler thingy there.
It was. You know what? When I left the shop, it was cooler outside. It made it too humid. So I downloaded the instructions. That's a story for later. I'll talk about that. Mm. Trying to optimize the shop conditions. But today we should be speaking with
move to Canada.
Right. Yeah. Bob Golden from Steel Labels. .com. That's a place where you can get. We'll go check it out.
Steel labels.
Yeah, they're actually chrome type labels that affix to your automotive sockets. I guess you could put them on wrenches too if you liked.
Yeah.
I've been using this product for many years. I have.
I think it's a great concept because some people just, I'm one of those people that, like, I know my sockets like I know my kids.
Right.
You know how, like, parents could tell twins apart or stuff like that? No. But it makes more sense to actually label something so that way when you have that pile of stuff in front of you. We were talking about this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when you're all nice and neat in the socket holders and back of your toolbox and whatnot, it's easy to figure out what socket's which. But when you got that pile in the work cart or you got it on the floor of the car when you're under the dashboard and stuff like that, it's great to be able to pick it up and say, oh, 516s, bang, done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking with Bob after our first break, and we'll get into all of that cool stuff. It's because it is a great product. Like I said, I have been using it for years, and it spurred me to...
You're very organized, Ray. I've seen your box.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that they make is they were magnetized magnet descriptors you put on the toolbox drawer for pliers. Now, that, you know, when you use your own toolbox, you know the drawer, like you know where your T-shirts are at home, right?
Right.
But for, like...
You know where your T-shirts are?
All over the place, yeah. I got them ask my wife, please. Oh, no, don't start that. Don't open that bag of snakes. But, because I just got some more new ones. So, you know, it's good at a glance, or if other people, like, at times, you know, my garage at home, my shop at home is kind of off limits.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes...
It is your sanctuary.
Right. But sometimes my wife may have to go get a pair of cutters for something, or my daughter needs something. I tell her, all right, go out to take the phone. Go to the toolbox. You know, no. All right, top box, third drawer down. Or it's like middle drawer, middle box, top drawer. What's
right.
the middle?
What's the middle, man?
Look at the drawer that says screwdrivers. Don't touch that. Now go to the one that says, like, you know, punches and files and go in there.
Yeah. Leave the one that says hand grenades be.
Yeah, the tripwire. See a little tripwire? Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't go near that.
Don't mess with that.
But that's the thing. Steel Labels makes those magnetized and also stick-on words that you could put on the toolbox drawer that says screwdrivers, SAE sockets, metric sockets, wrenches, whatnot.
Are they going to print up that edition for me? With the descriptors?
You know, that's a good question. I have some of the samples of their stuff here. There is one that said... I think there was like electrical stuff, and like no, you need bigger stuff than that for scan toolage. No,
right? Yeah, that this one had like the ampersand, the number sign, the exclamation point, just,
right.
You know,
right.
That way. But you know, another thing is that when you're working with somebody, if you're at an unfamiliar place, well, this happens a lot at the CF.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we have tools, we you know, everybody's got toolboxes, but there's one main box that we draw upon, and
right.
The thing is that when you're in the middle of a thrash and you've got like three or four guys doing three or four things in different parts of the car. And so it's, hey, where's the 13 millimeter? And, right. You know, there's a pile of stuff. And, you know, rather than sorting through it and somebody's, hey, come on, get back to work. Now it's like it's much easier to find.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, when you know your own tools, that's one thing. But, you know, in the heat of battle, you must be able to identify your weapons quickly.
Well, yeah, it's just like you said, if you're in a shop even, you know, a shop situation, and somebody else needs to grab something, they say, hey, you know, can I borrow your whatever it is? You
right.
Know, you could tell them, yeah, you know, they know what your toolbox is, obviously, but this way they can find it because it's labeled. So.
And especially when you're the one organized guy that has them and everybody else has got, like, you know, teeth marks or
well,
something to
it's always the case.
Theirs.
I guess maybe shops have changed now. I don't know. I know that in the shop that I'm working at, I have a distinct set of tools basically geared towards working on the older cars that I typically
right.
service. Now, Mike has... he has a little bit of a different thing because he has to do a lot of inspections on cars and some insurance
disassembly
stuff. So yeah, he's got different tools, and then he invested since he's a fairly newer tool buyer. He started investing in all the battery powered tools.
Yes.
Which I have a couple at home, but I haven't bridged that gap yet. I'm waiting for maybe a used one to come. I got something will break
you
the ice.
Can't. Pry my Milwaukee electric quarter inch drive from my fingers.
There you go. Right.
That thing is the bomb. You know what I mean? And as a matter of fact, a couple of the other guys have now gotten other power tools, so you know, either the Snap-on or the Milwaukee Persuasion. There.
Right.
It's just that when you're trying to, you know, when especially like say under a dash or in a tight spot, you know, rather than sitting there and like twisting the ratchet, and you have just enough room to move your hand, a
mm-hmm.
little bit longer extension, hit the button, zit, and you know, air tools, you know, have been around since the dawn of time. But the problem with air tools is that you've got that hose to trip over, not reach.
Correct.
You know, put those interesting, you know, that interesting graphics on the guy's on the customer's fender.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So the electric stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, like I said, Mike has invested in that. The electric. I never know what to call this stuff because it's an air ratchet. It's not an air ratchet. It's an electric. It's a battery.
It's a power tool. Yeah.
It's a battery ratchet. And then he's got the 3/8 drive gun and the 1/2-inch gun, and of course the batteries interchange and all that stuff.
Guns.
But let's interchange ourselves to the phonocrenator and push the button and see who wants to talk with us. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yo.
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey Joe.
Hey.
Hey, it's Cliff. How's everything?
Cliff, what's going on,
Cliff?
Bro?
Good. I just flicked on that radio, like I caught the tail end of you were talking about the electric tool, and I actually had a question for Joe.
Yeah.
Like I see guys even using them as you know lug wrench, you know lug
yeah.
removals on tires.
That was probably one of the first
battery,
things.
Do you get the same amount of power as like an air or something plugged into the wall?
It depends on the tool.
Yeah,
it depends on the tool.
I guess it's so hard for me to grasp, you know, like looking at a battery pack and then saying, like, you know, I could see it, you know, of her screw gun going into wood, but it's so hard for me to grasp it having the power that some
in
of these
the
guys
last,
say it has.
In the last few years, the impact guns have gotten to the point where they're just they're in the same ballpark as the as the air powered ones.
Cliff, I got to tell you something. At the shop, like I just said, Mike has the 3/8, but the 1/2-inch snap on impact gun,
the
battery
beast.
Powered,
the The Beast.
The Beast, I call it.
Yeah.
It surpasses what the air gun can do.
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
You're welcome to come down there any day, and I'll put that thing in your hand. First, you can say, oomph, mom, right on. This thing weighs a ton and a half. But it breaks off all those, you know, all the peskiest lug nut. It is a beast. It's
yeah.
crazy.
Oh, it's funny. When you had talked to me, when I was talking to you about buying a battery, a charging pack, you know, a booster pack, I know you had said to me, check out those Ionic or the
lithium ion. Yeah.
Lithium ion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like so skeptical about it, but I did buy it. I actually bought an inexpensive one over from Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
So it was
that one's
cheap.
Pretty good.
You know, I'm not using it as, you know, for the trade, everything. But I got to tell you, it boosted some stone dead cars. I helped a guy in the parking lot a couple of months ago with a big block Chevelle that was definitely hot and overheated. It just wasn't turning, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, "Let me give it." It was my first time I tried it. Mind if I give you a hand? I want to see if this thing works. And he laughed.
That's that little red one for like right 50 over. Bucks or something, right?
Yeah,
that
little one? Red one. It comes in a pack. It was
I got that one too.
So.
Yeah, that's done well for
you
me.
Can
I also
charge your phone on it.
I mostly use it for a portable power supply.
Yeah, they make one just above that too. Mm-hmm. They make one. Yeah, you're right, Cliff. You can use that for pretty much anything. Yeah.
The only thing I did find with it, just to let you know, was I actually did charge my phone one time with it, and I found that the phone got really hot.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Yeah, the voltage control is kind of funky. Yeah. I charged mine one time like that, and it only got calls from China. So
and it's got a battery pack on it. I mean, it's got a flashlight on it. It's pretty cool.
Right. But, now, you know, this is, listen, it's the way of the world. You know, we're seeing more battery-powered cars, of course,
yeah.
the electro things. So it kind of trickled down to tools.
Right.
And they are very useful, like we're talking about. There's definitely a place for them. Unfortunately, the top brand stuff, like the Snap-on and the Mac,
it's pricey.
It's pretty pricey, yeah. But you got to watch out for deals. I at home a few years ago, I had bought my one daughter was always getting a flat, and I always had to go change this thing like in the worst conditions on the road. So I ended up, my wife had got me for I think my birthday one year a Craftsman aluminum floor jack that I could easily lift up in my car instead of my big Snap-on Mama Luke that would put me in the hospital. And I also asked, I think for Christmas, she got me the half inch drive impact gun,
right?
But a Craftsman. And I have seen the limits of that gun. You can only do so much with it.
Yeah.
And again, it's not the gun. It's the battery technology.
It's the tire shop. If the thing, the last some ones were put on by a tire shop with guns set to 11, you ain't getting it off with the Craftsman. Yeah, but you know, it's like as Jim pointed out, our eye in the sky, that brushless motors and lithium ion batteries, that tech has really made this stuff usable.
Absolutely.
On a day to day basis, you know. As a matter of fact,
I guess this whole battery situation is really changing up now, because I saw a couple of months ago they were like offering these crazy cheap leases. I guess they were trying to unload some of these old Kia Soul electric cars. They were offering like no money down with like $110 a month, but they only go like 80 miles or something. So I guess maybe they're switching over to some of, you know, these more extended life batteries.
Battery tech just keeps moving at a really fast pace. So, stuff even a couple of years ago is a little bit behind the times there, you know, depending on how the original design went, you know?
All right, Cliff.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. I'm listening to you on my iPhone now. So.
Very good.
Streaming in. All right.
We'll have to change the name to Motor Mouth iPhone.
Thanks, Cliff.
Yeah, everybody in Whole Foods is listening to you, too, right now.
Oh, great.
Right. Hi, everybody. Bring me home some kale.
Yeah.
Not.
Sail in aisle three. Matt Man Brian is saying, watch out for the spark with any type of fuel vapor from those battery-powered tools, which is something I wasn't aware of. But I tell you what I am aware of. We're going to take a quick break. And, Joe, here's a song for you. I'm still in country mode, man, because it's just...
I can tell.
You know, cool place to be. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Hopefully, we'll be talking with Bob. And we'll be back. Keep it where you got it. Joe, you can sing along, because this song is near and dear to both of our hearts.
Saturday Night Fever, Polyester Suits, The Brady Bunch, Bell Bottom Jeans. and the music of the 70s.
Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Join me, Ron Stevens, on the radio, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. for 2 hours of the decade of Elton John, the Eagles, and disco. The Super 70s, the 70s at 7, Saturday mornings on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Oh, yeah, we're back into bluegrass mode here on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, 516-572-7440. Hang on, we should be speaking with Mr.
I got to go put the stand-up bass back in the corner. Okay.
Yes, Mr. Bob Golden from Steel Labels. Hopefully he'll be calling us in a minute. We'll talk to him about all of that cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's,
we were talking in the break about that about the power tools.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, amongst some of the reading some of the stuff in the technicians groups that I belong to, some of the car companies, like Ford most notably, they changed their labor times and they cut them down because they realized that everybody is now using these power tools, all right, in one form or another,
right,
rather than their trusty snap-on wrench or that good old crank type speed wrench and stuff like that. Everything now is pretty much either electric, not even air anymore. You know, and they've cut back the time.
By how much? I mean, how much do you really save by grabbing that battery powered ratchet or plugging the air hose into the one that's out of the same toolbox?
Well, from my own experience, it was the it's like the lack of the air hose. You know, just grab the ratchet and go. I mean, the reason why I bought my ratchet was on YouTube. I was trying to do some study on diesels. There was this Ford tech out in New Mexico, Diesel Tech Ron. God rest his soul. He died in the meantime. He had the same ratchet, and I saw him rip the top end off of all the ductwork and stuff on like a Power Stroke diesel. And real time, this thing buzzed through all those ducts in like 3-4 minutes.
Just wow.
You know what I mean? And it was like, whoa, look at that. Imagine me under a dashboard with that thing or whatnot, you know?
True.
And yesterday I had left mine at the CF when I was over at the shop, and I wanted to disassemble something trying to get at the power brake booster.
You felt like
on
you left your arm home, right?
Yeah, kind of. You know, and I'm not mostly it's my diagnostic stuff, but like I do carry some small hand tools with me.
Yeah.
On the fly, because anything bigger I let the shop handle that. But trying to get in there on an accurate RDX turbo. Trying to get at the power brake booster, to check the vacuum from the vacuum pump and all this other. I was like,
right.
Forget about it. It's not happening. I mean, I would have had the thing apart in about 2 minutes with the electric ratchet, but doing it by hand. Because once you crack loose any little bit of rust or whatever, any kind of stiction there, I mean, the electric tool is just light years ahead.
You know, hopefully we'll have Bob
plus
on the line.
Plus, my wrist doesn't hurt that much.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have Bob on the line in a few minutes. But after that, I'd like to get good old Matt Goldman Brian on because, we do talk about this all the time. And we get a tool. I'd like to get the tool guy's perspective. I know all of the tool guys, the guy I use and Brian as well, I know they sell the crap out of stuff because people want to use it. And sometimes I even, like I said, I haven't gone off that diving board yet, but I do go over to the other toolbox sometimes and I borrow mics and I'll say, let me use the little 3/8 gun, it'll be a little easier.
Right.
And then on occasion, I'll open my toolbox and take out my 3/8 air ratchet, plug it in, and I told you, the first time I was doing brakes, that's what I always use it on. You crack the caliper bolts and then you hit
buzz
the
out,
air
yeah.
ratchet. And he came over one day and he said, what is that? I'm like, what's that? That noise. What is that? I'm like, Oh, that? Like,
an air rash.
Like, oh, that's the sound of every shop in the world used to
where
buzz.
Where you
with
been? Is the music of our people.
Exactly.
That and the Ugga Dugga of the Big Impact.
A Dugga Dugga. Right, we play the music. So let's go back to the phones, and we will see if we have
Ugga Dugga.
Ugga Dugga. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello?
Yo.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Bob Golden.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing, man?
You're on the phone with Ray and Joe.
Hey.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Joe D.
Hey, what's up, man?
Bob, we've been kind of preempting the hell out of this. We're really selling this hard. We want to talk about steel labels and how they can make a mechanic or a homeowner's life easier. So, you know, I had mentioned that I've been using this product for years, which led me to get back in touch with your company. And I don't even remember how I saw them the first time because it's been years ago. But it's good to see that you're still going strong. You're still putting out a great product, and it's very, very affordable. So give us some background, please, on the company.
Well, we're just a small business in Oregon, and I'm working out of the same place that I've worked out of all my life. This is my garage.
Excellent.
Okay.
I'm 70 now, and I have a lot bigger garage.
Yeah.
But now it's half full of printing equipment instead of cars.
Oh, you actually?
But I'm an old.
I didn't realize you printed the stuff there at your garage.
No, we print the all the designs and our test marketing.
Okay.
And we've in small quantities. And then we go to the $5 million equipment and job it out and have it printed in large quantities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I got to say, now that I've gotten some newer stuff from you, as opposed to the stuff I had in the past, the Presidential Series is my favorite.
Yes, the Presidential,
too.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work to get it to that stage. But we've been doing the socket labels for about 14 years.
Right, right.
And they've come a long ways from the first time I did them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of thinking that's got to go into them. First of all is the material that I came up with was a chrome foil material, so that it's tougher. But the standard material tended to lift up because it had a memory, and the it wants to lay flat. So before the glue would set up, they would kind of lift on the edges. And this was only if you didn't clean it quite right with alcohol. So then I went to the design and came up with a medical grade super thin polymer that didn't have that memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm using so that it holds the curve, especially on the small quarter inch sockets.
Yeah.
And then we coat them with a tough coating, and once they're pressed into place and set up for 24 hours or so, they start hardening on and harden on for as long as they're on there, and they're almost impossible to get off after they're on there for a year or so.
Oh, okay. There
so there'll be no pranking fellow mechanics.
Well, that's a good thing to know, yeah. Because I got to tell you, I've had, and I've been back and forth with Megan, who works for you, and talked about this a little bit, because I like to give a little bit of a product review. I found on my on some of my smaller sockets, I have a neck down area, that radius proves a big problem for the label. So I've actually cut them down even smaller to make them fit, regardless.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I did with the Presidential set. Is I made three different sizes. Made a smaller one for the quarter inch drive,
mm-hmm,
to help it bend around a little bit better and adhere.
Right. And the only time I've lost one of these is I had them more. Because of the design of the socket, I had to have them more towards the open end. And when that socket went into a tight spot, it wasn't an issue. A fault of the label. It's just that it was in such a tight spot. It did. I did lose one, so I just had to replace it. Yeah, I just replaced it with another one, and hopefully, I won't be in that same tight spot again.
That's why reason I invented these is I was underneath a car removing a transmission, got to a 5/16 bracket, a bolt, and I was looking for the 5/16 socket, and I had a little box with full of sockets,
mm-hmm,
and it took me about half an hour to find it. And I thought, man, there's got to be something would solve this problem. And I just thought of labels, and that's where it all generated from.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you need it. What were you changing the transmission on?
I think that was a Honda at the time.
Okay. I mean, now you came up in the same era that we did, so you must have had some pretty interesting cars back in the day, I would imagine, like most of us did, huh?
Yes, I started out with a 56 Pontiac for $300.
Nice. Yeah.
Then I got into fixing cars, Chevys, and high school graduation car, I had a 57 Chevy convertible.
Nice.
But then I got into buying and selling and flipping Mustangs.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the 64s and 65s.
Right, right. Nice, yeah, nice. I bet you wish that you had that convertible 57 today, huh?
Oh, I wish I did.
I know.
I dream about
everybody's
that car.
Got a collection of those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, join the club. We're all in that same boat.
About to the early 80s, I was flipping Mustangs, and I had this guy call and said he had this Mustang for sale. So I went out there and looked at it, and it was just pitted with, like, it had been parked on a golf course or something, and it was primer gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to be nice to him, and he started it up for me, and it was missing. So I said, well, probably got a bad valve or something. He said, no, I removed the piston because I blew a rod. And so it's missing one piston.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, thanks a lot. I'll pass on it.
Yeah, yeah.
About 2 weeks later, a car lot called me, and they said they had a car they wanted me to see, and it was great. It was nice. It ran good. It was fine. So I drove 60 miles to see it, and it was the same car.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
I walked up there, and the guy was saying, go ahead, start it up. And so he started it up, and it was missing the same as before.
Mm-hmm.
So I slammed the hood down, and I walked off the car, and I says, are you trying to sell me a car with a missing piston? And the guy's face just turned ashen white. He says, how did you know that? How did you? And follow me all the way off the knot.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah,
you just love it when you freak him out like that.
Information always was and always will be key, I tell you. That's great. Oh, that's funny. So, the thing I found is, you know, myself personally, and I'm sure other people be in the same situation, you know, I have my tool collection at home and I have a tool collection out to shop I'm working at. So now I have double. It's like, damn, I've been putting labels on things. I got a lot of sockets.
that's another thing is I tried to buy those laser cuts because I couldn't, you know, to read better. But darn if I was going to replace all my tools just so I could read them.
Right.
So
right.
That's why I got these at $5. They're cheap enough you can cover all your tools.
I got to tell you one thing that may actually put a crimp in your plan here. It's in, and it's a big pat on the back for good. Hey, Matco man, Brian, who I know is listening to us. Matco has a line of black impact sockets now. I saw it online, and the numbers, they happen to be metric that I saw. The numbers were in orange. I was like, oh black.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that is great.
That's better
but
than
it doesn't do us old fogies any good.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to buy all new tools. We're going to keep the ones we got.
And, you know, well, that's
and
the,
use them.
You're right, and that's the thing, though. I find myself in that position, being an older fogey who is buying new tools again, but also now want to optimize my older and my newer tools, and that's where steel labels comes in and fills that void. It really does.
You know what our best-selling product is right now?
What's that?
It's those breaker labels.
Oh, for the breakers in the house. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
To go on the switch. They're top on Amazon.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I know you have a set that's good for, like, fishing gear and another one for just general household stuff. So, I guess...
Anything that can make life better.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. That's really fantastic. So the
there is a need for this, especially for us fogies.
Yeah.
So I want to know when you're going to make socket labels in Braille.
In Braille.
I'm going to do that pretty soon.
You know, I actually thought about that.
Hey,
One of these days, we're going to be there. We're going to have something that I'll have to talk. Six millimeter.
Well, I'll tell you something. Hopefully we'll get Brian on later in the show, but he just did let me know that he does like to steal labels' products. So he's aware of it. So there's a tool guy who knows about it. And I actually showed my tool guy a set of sockets I bought from him. The next week I came back and I had the labels on them. And he did a double take and said, "Wait, didn't I just sell those to you?" I was like, "Yeah, you did." He goes, "Well, not." He goes, "What happened?" He goes, "I didn't sell them to you like that." I said, "No, I used steel labels," which is, he goes, "That looks really good." So, maybe that's a thing. If you could get the infrastructure, get into with some of the tool guys, sell it through them.
Sure.
Because it's not an expensive product. It's very affordable. You know?
Yeah, we're growing so fast that I'm going to have to do something. I get some help here to help me sell this stuff.
Yeah. I tell you, it just so happens to seem like our life in Oregon. We're on Long Island in New York, so we're on the other side of the country. But I just got a couple of power brake boosters rebuilt by a guy, Booster Dewey and Booster Steve,
yeah,
who are in Oregon. And, of course, you know, Mark Warman, who's out in Oregon. And our buddy Scotty Gossin, the journalist, is in Oregon. And now you're in Oregon. They're like, wow.
Well, they're the Northwest. We're the Northeast. You know,
it's beautiful out here.
Yeah.
We're right on the Snake River, about 60 miles from Boise.
Oh, nice. Nice. So you're inland. Yeah, okay. A little more inland.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Bob, if you can put out some information for the listeners, how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your products, or get in touch with you if you want to encourage that, please do so.
Yes. We're at steellabels.com. And that's with two L's, and all one word.
Yep.
Right. Or you can just Google chrome socket labels.
Okay.
And you can get in touch with us. We pride ourselves on our 100% satisfaction. We ask no questions if you have any problems at all with our labels. And when we run a 99.9% satisfaction on eBay.
Nice.
There's always that one guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mail gets ate by the dog or something like that. And I also listen to all complaints because I want to keep making my product better.
Right, right. Yeah, it's even like I said, that some of the sockets I had with the small neck, I had an issue with this. So, yeah, I could have, a guy like me, anybody who had that problem, could have wrote in and said, "Oh, your label sucked. It didn't work on the sock." But, like, you know what? This is the real world. You know, there are exceptions to every rule. That product works 99.9% of the time besides stupid little things like that. So,
Besides that, somebody else would have stuck it on and been satisfied, but you're a stickler.
Well, I am. Yes, I am a detail
nut. You're a stickler
nut.
With your sticky stuff.
You're correct. I am.
So it's okay. Well,
You get the Motormouth Radio endorsement, the highest honor we can bestow. You definitely.
I'm actually good. You know, rather than using nail polish and masking tape, I might actually buy a set of these myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was taking parts off the cars and trying to figure out where they go back.
I used to use
fingernail polish on all the different parts and stuff with different colors.
Right,
right, right.
And that gave me the idea of the assembly labels that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just stick those on the parts.
Sure. No, that's fantastic. That is great. Great, great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, those of us with short-term memory issues, thank you.
Yeah.
Long-term memory. Memory, period.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
No, I don't remember either. All right, Bob, we thank you very much. We're gonna have to run and take care of some business, but it was great to have you on to talk about steel labels, and you know that we will basically be talking about them. Like I said, I show everybody that I know, and they like them. And if you do have any new products to come out in the future, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We'll get you back on, and we'll talk about those as well.
Sounds good. And maybe sometime you can put me on and I'll talk about how to get an internet business going.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
We'll talk offline and we'll set that up. Very good.
Okay. And Megan says hi.
Hey, hi, Megan.
Hey,
how
Megan.
You doing? Thank you very much. All right, Bob. Thanks, buddy. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
Yes, that was Bob Golden from Steel Labels, steellabels.com. Check it out. The product works. I've been using it. I'll tell you it works for me because it certainly does.
I think I'm going to throw the link up on the website.
Yes. It went up. It went out on Twitter and Instagram yesterday, so you can check those feeds too, because you should be following us anyway at Motormouth Radio. And until then, we're going to take another break. We may want to listen to Rock Overdose, which is every Tuesday at 2, but since today's Sunday, we can't do it now. You can never truly overdose on rock music, and our host Mike Sanford proves it. Also, what proves to be great is Steel Labels are made in the USA, made in America. So let us take our break with that in mind. The good old, our favorite Mr. Charlie Daniels, and we'll be back in a bit with more Motormouth Radio. Keep where you got it.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
And we may have done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone.
Oh, yeah, the great CDB talking about America. And they snuck Tennessee in there, which was a little homage. You know, our good friend Kilowatt Kevin is on his way back from there today. I'm back
He's on the flip-flop.
Yeah, he's on the flip-flop. So we're kind of just playing all sides of the game here. But, so that was great. So, listen, I was glad to hear from Bob, because that's, like I said, it's always great to get a product. You know, even when you buy a product that doesn't cost a lot of money, and these things are definitely affordable. It's great to get what you expect and more from your purchasing dollars, because we're all consumers and we all like to maximize that.
To get stopped.
No, absolutely. So let's see if we can get something else cooking here. We're going to try this on the fly. I don't know.
You flying again?
Yeah, we're trying to fly again.
Why is this smoke coming out of there?
Do I
have to go get the fire extinguisher?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Bob was talking about Mustangs. And the shop Rustang was back on my radar this week because, the booster guy we deal with, Booster Dewey and Booster Steve in Oregon, the boosters showed up on Friday. I had the one done for the Mustang and the one done for my Pontiac in case I do decide to use it. Side note, I'm thinking about, before I go to a booster in that car, I'm thinking about going to bigger brake rotors.
Ooh.
You know, you increase the stopping force, you increase the diameter.
Of course, yeah, the swept area.
Which is never bad. So I'm thinking about maybe doing that before the booster to see if I like that change better.
Yeah, you don't want to change too many variables at once.
One at a time.
Not. I would think. But, you really haven't had any kind of slowing down issues with that thing, have you?
No, with the pedal I have, it's a very hard pedal. It's a mechanical manual disc set. And I luckily haven't had to put it to a panic stop situation.
Right.
And that's the only thing that bothers me. So what doesn't bother me is going to the phone. So we'll push this button and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey, this is, hey, Macro Man Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up, man?
What's happening? Hey, Brian, how are you?
How you guys doing?
Very good.
I listen every Sunday.
Oh,
that's great.
We're going to look into getting you some therapy for that, because it's happening
in
the past.
Yeah, you know, there's a cure for that. Scared Straight program,
Joe,
I think.
I know Brian is a very, very hardworking tool man, and to for him to take time out of his Sunday to do this, it means a lot. Seriously. He's truly touched.
That's right. I'm getting ready for Monday. We're going to have our 10 and 8 packs.
Oh,
those are going to be sockets. It's going to be five of the 10 millimeters.
10 millimeters.
And 5 of the 8, because everybody loses 8s and 10s.
Wow, that's a great idea.
On the nose, so that's fantastic.
So I can walk around and be like a drug dealer, selling out 8 and 10s.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
funny. So let me, to get back to what we were talking about with, well, two things, the steel labels thing, but also the battery-powered tools. Tell us, give us your input on that, because you're a tool guy. You sell these things every day, and you're selling, you know, we've worked with the Snap-on in Milwaukee, but you obviously sell the Matco. So
yeah, I sell the Infinity line. Mm-hmm. That's who makes our stuff. And I was a little late to the show because I'm old school. So, you know, if it wasn't air, it wasn't any good.
Right.
And, but the technology in the last couple of years is just incredible. And,
absolutely.
You know, like I said, I sell a lot of that stuff now, and that's the new wave.
Does the, well, let me ask you this. Does the, it's almost a dopey question, but does the battery stuff outsell the air powered stuff?
Yes. Now it does.
By what margin?
It's almost 2 to 1. So,
no kidding.
And it's hard to even keep in stock, or even the unfortunate thing about that. Of course, batteries power is getting so much. The technology of battery is getting better. Mm-hmm. It's just that you know, you sell a lot of batteries because guys want them constantly going.
Right.
You know. So the only thing that your repair rate is a lot faster, and that's one thing I like about the Infinity line, is that I can change the brushes on site.
Okay.
Instead of sending them in. So,
so that
it can be repaired and fixed.
Well, that answers one question. So that is a brush-type motor as opposed to brushless.
We do have both. They are going more brushless now.
Okay.
Just because of the spark.
And that's why you mentioned the sparks, right, because you wouldn't get that with a brushless motor. Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah, well, you know,
that is good.
I was going to say, that takes me back to my days in the auto electric shop where I used to rebuild starters and alternators, and of course we had to put brushes in everything, you know, because that was that's how you transmit the power from the commutator.
Yeah, that was a wear spot, to be sure.
Yeah, and they were a wearable item. It's like shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and, like the quarter-inch ratchet and 3/8 ratchet and battery power is the same as our air. So the top portion of it, so that the head unit is the same. So if you have a weak head on your ratchet, I can repair it on the truck.
That's the only place I got weak.
That's convenient. That's, you just gave Joe an idea, but I don't think we're going to go with that one. No, that's very convenient. Very convenient.
I was hitting me a lot of times when I was a kid. Sorry.
I'll tell you when I did use my buddy's battery-powered ratchet was just yesterday, because I'm working on this Mach 1 Mustang, Brian. I thought of you. I thought of the Matco,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I saw those pictures.
Yeah, I mean, every time I touch something under the dash, I get another flood of, literally, like I vacuumed the carpet so it's clean. Then I put my hand up there and this cacophony of stuff comes down.
Oh yeah.
Like, but I use the electric ratchet, because to put that booster in, that must be put in the car before the steering column, before the whole interior is put in.
Yeah, it's just a firewall.
It's almost yeah, it's almost impossible to get at those nuts.
Mm.
And what a
four-speed car, right?
Now it's a 5-speed. The guy put a five-speed in.
Make
yeah.
sure the firewall is not cracked.
Yeah, there's a lot of cracking going on in this car, but that's all right. It's my buddy. It's the shop owner's car. He picked it up because the guy who owned it did a lot of work to it, and then realized, I think, that the rust issue was maybe a little more than he could afford to repair. So, you know, my buddy picked it up and said, hey, I just want to drive it around because it's going to be a cool car. And I agree. It's a 351 four-barrel, 5-speed. It's going to be a nice little driver, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think whenever I got to go near a Mustang, I think of you and like, God, how does he do that? But you're working on a nice, clean Mustang.
Well, it's clean just because I've replaced all the metal.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, that's nice. Have you been able to work on the car at all, or are you like the rest of us?
Just a little bit. I mean, between work and a house full of women, it's tough.
Yeah, copy that, man. I got the same situation.
Yeah, time is the most precious commodity. Definitely is.
I got to mention, too, if people want to get in touch, well, we'll get contact information, but Thursday night's Playing in Traffic show, which now we're back on Blue Jeans Network,
tonight. I mean, it might change. That's what Lewis said, right?
It might change next Thursday. We're bouncing around like ping pong balls. But I want people to know they could actually get a look at you. They could go on to that feed, and you could go to Lou's Facebook page, which is Lou Santiago on Facebook. You can go to Garage Insider TV. You can go to allendsmag.com and check the feed, and maybe even get a chance to talk to you. So, which is
I try to make it on Thursday nights, and just like listening to you guys, I enjoy it. And like I said, if you ever need a little help on a question or idea, you can always text or call. I'm always available.
Oh, that's excellent. Great to know,
Brian. That's great. Is there any contact information you'd like to give the listeners if they
You can check me out on my Facebook page at Hey Macho Man. Also, I'm on Twitter now with Hey Macho Man, and also Snapshot. So
very good.
I got all three basically covered, and you can get in touch with me anyway.
Thanks a lot, Brian. That's great, and good luck with those 10 and 8s next week. Make sure you get some little glassine envelopes to stick them in.
No problem. I'll get you in touch, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Everybody should have a tool guy like that.
Brian's
That's
a cool,
very
yeah.
cool.
He is a very cool man. He kind of looks like Jerry Garcia a little bit. You know, he's got the Jerry Garcia vibe.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
He's definitely cool. I'd love to be on his tool truck.
Yeah. Yeah? That's definitely... Yeah, because some tool trucks are more cozy than others.
Right.
Yeah, the one where the guy follows you around with the taser. You know what I mean? You gotta watch that. But you know, the cool ones have the stuff that you really want. You know, and they have the new product section. You know,
Brian
what I mean?
Does some cool stuff. Incentives, darts in the ceiling. He's got coolers of Gatorade. Check him out on his on that Twitter feed on Hey Matco Man, and you'll see for yourself. And unlike some of the guys who follow you with the taser, sometimes you can have a drink with your Matco Man, and we'll follow it up with the CDB. I know Vince is digging this stuff, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in a minute. Keep it where you got it.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age, with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceania, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
And I'm sitting here drinking, trying to keep from thinking I'm a losing my troubles away.
Well, the tune on this track isn't played by a monkey, but I tell you what, on Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino and Joe D are back in tune. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Steve.
We're doing good. We're doing good. I'm fascinated by the electric thing, you know, electric tools and things like that. And,
right.
Basically, I'm like the all-electric body man, you know. I got away from air, you know, simply because you have to, especially in a body shop, you have to run like a big 10-horsepower compressor.
Right.
Okay, to use one air ratchet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the amount of savings, you know, from electricity by using electric tools are phenomenal, you know?
Right.
And
they're just a lot easier.
Basically, at the shop, I do use all electric ratchets and things like that, you know, battery-powered ratchets, you know. But also, when it comes to sanding, instead of using an air-powered DA and everything, I'm using the Fez tool, electric. You know,
that's true. That's what is that? I had that considered.
Fez? You know.
Oh, right.
And basically, you know, what's good about it is that you don't have to run a big 10 horsepower compressor to one little DA sander. And, you know, now with the brushless motors coming into play, they're making the tools a lot smaller and lighter, you know. So
right.
It really, really takes the place of air, you know.
You know, the other thing I didn't think of is you don't have to worry about tripping over the hoses or getting that. Like, it's like when you're out fishing. I guess you could ask any fisherman about this, and I'm sure that you know, they'll tell you. You get your lines crossed out on the water, now you're in for some trouble. So I've been in some shops where, like, you're stepping over. It's like lasers in a sci-fi movie. You're stepping over the air hoses and, like, trying not to get.
It's like a scene from one of the Indiana Jones movies. There, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. And then if you got 10 guys working in the shop, you got 5 air hoses you're fighting for.
Yeah.
You know? And. Yeah, you know, so it's really the way to go, and even spraying paint. Compressorless sprayers are coming about. You know, turbine air sprayers. They use their own little electric unit, and they produce volumes of air. Okay, and you can actually run a spray gun on it, and just plug it into the wall, and you're good to go.
That's amazing,
know,
yeah.
It's amazing, you know. So
things are definitely changing. That compressor's a pain in the butt to maintain. When you first set up a shop, you got to run the network of pipes. You got to find a good spot for the compressor. All right, you got to drain the thing. You got, you know, you got to kiss it on its little head every once in a while. You know what I mean? Then you got to go down. Got to go down to Brooklyn and get the license and blah blah blah.
Yeah, all that's gone.
Yeah,
all that's gone.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So it's electric's here to stay.
Yeah.
And you know, I really believe that. You know, and as the battery technology gets better and better, you know, when the cost comes down, you're going to be surprised, you know what's going to happen in the shop.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for a little better price point, and then I'll jump off the diving board. What do you think the percentages in your shop, Steve, are the guys using the electric as opposed to old school?
Well, basically, I kind of introduced it, you know, to the shop.
Right.
You know, I was the one who brought in the electric sanders. You know, I had electric tools, electric, you know, impacts and things, and then guys started to buy them also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was always, you know, looking for a better way, you
right.
know, a more economical way and a more portable way of doing things. You know, so
yeah.
you know, I always went out and bought, you know. Whatever was new, you know, what I thought that would, it's just common sense stuff, you know, and so I was like the one who brought in the electric Fez tool, and basically when Mike saw it, he goes, oh, wow, that's fantastic, you know, and then it's vacuum assist, it sucks up all the dust,
right.
And, you know, body work became a lot greener now, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, so we're really working in way better conditions than we did. We got a bad reputation, you know, through the years of being dirty, you know. But we really cleaned up our act with these, you know, tools that are available now.
That's like everything else, yeah. I think the progress is definitely in the right direction now. Mm-hmm. Because you walk in a body shop, you come home. You blew your nose in 7 different colors.
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah.
You know, I've had my car at the shop stuff, and I could tell.
Buzz.
Like, we'll get a car down at our shop, the Oceanside shop, that came from yours, Steve, and I'll open the door. I'm like, oh, yeah, this was in a body shop. You just smell it. You got that body shop smell, you know?
Right.
Which isn't a bad thing.
We cleaned up a lot. We really did, you know, water-based paints, you know, and everything, and, you know, we're trying to attract, you know, younger guys into the industry. And one of the things that stopped, you know, younger guys from coming into the industry is dirty. You know, who wants to do that, you know? But now, you know, by, you know, really changing, it's both basically just changing your procedures, you know, and your way of thinking,
right.
You know, thinking clean and green. And, you know, we really cleaned up our act.
Well, the other thing, though, is with the battery tools, not only is it cleaner and greener, it actually offers a more productive environment for the individual technician now. You know,
without a doubt.
So that you can look at that as paramount, or you can look at the clean and green as paramount. However you want to look at it, it's a win-win-win-win. So, for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm excited with electric technology, you know. And I tell you, and I drove a Tesla, and let me tell you something. I liked it. I accepted it. We'll see where the future takes us.
Times have changed.
So let me ask you this: do you have different generations of battery powered tools, or are they all about the same age?
Yeah, they're all about the same age. You know, I think I bought my first battery powered ratchet maybe 5 years ago. Okay. And the batteries are still good.
How often do you find yourself charging that, recharging those batteries?
Believe it or not, they last quite a while. I'd say you always get a set of batteries, though. So one's on charge and then one's in the gun and you're ready to go. I would say maybe every week, every 5 days.
That's great. All right, so you basically only charge it when it needs it. Now, I know lithium ion, it doesn't matter, but with the last technology, which was, help me, Joe, the...
Nickel cadmium.
NiCad, right. Yeah. Those, if you short charge them, they would take a memory, and they would remember.
They're all gone. Everything's ion now. And especially, and the booster packs, too. When the booster packs first came out, they were a nightmare, with the NiCad.
Yeah, it was like a diehard inside. Well, it was like a diehard inside of a plastic, inside of a plastic housing. It was like
a big Mama Luca thing. Yeah.
Now they're a lot nicer, right?
They're good. They're reliable.
That's excellent.
Yeah, we're good.
Very good. Well,
all right.
I'm glad that we got to hear the Body Guys end this. That's something I did not think of, but that's pretty cool to know that they're in on this as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And still, I am, anyway.
And always remember, you have an open invitation to come in, sit with us one Sunday, and talk about this stuff on the other side of the shop bench.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And one of the other things, I teach auto body at Bozies. School starting up, so maybe I can come in and do a little school days thing.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
That'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Good talking to you.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. That was our good buddy Steve, who works for Mike at the body shop. He's over at the other shop. So
it's always nice to have the body guy's input there.
And I got to give you a little input on what's coming up on Motor Mouth Radio, Joe.
You didn't let me say it. So what's coming up, Ray?
Sorry. The only other guy that I let call me that, by the way.
I understand that. Well, he told me when he left, he goes, don't forget to call him Ray.
Right.
On that part of the show, he's got to be calling Ray.
For a while, Chris was calling me Rock and Roll Ray. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
It takes too long.
I know. Anyway, next week.
Rockin' Ray.
Next week, we have Mr. Dave Barden, who's the Senior Manager of Training Services and Diagnostics from PowerPro. PowerProbe.com.
I was using mine extensively yesterday.
Yes.
That thing is cool.
He's going to tell us the tips and tricks and the pitfalls of using a PowerProbe. So we're going to, he is the Senior Manager of Training Services and Diagnostics. So Joe, this is the right guy. I mean, you don't get anybody better than that.
Hell yeah. Let's face it, because that tool got a bad rep for quite some time because people were blowing stuff up because they didn't know how to use it.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that was pretty gun-shy. I mean, you've seen, I have like 72,000 test lights, jumper wires, various clips and probes and whatever that, just to get around from using the power probe for a long time. And then I said, you know what? The heck with this. I didn't use the original power probe. I'm up to, I think mine's a 3.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the voltmeter and whatnot. And it's, like yesterday, it saved me a buttload of time on a Acura RDX.
I was just talking to someone, too, that has a hook. And says he, oh yeah, I know who it is. My niece's husband has the Power Pro hook,
mm-hmm.
and he says, yeah, he used it once. He's not really, happy with it. It doesn't fit what he does. And I said, I may know a guy. I said, Joe may want to take that off your hands as a used tool.
Yeah,
so I may have a lineup for you on that. But then a couple weeks after that, on the 9th of September, we're going to be abusing Kim's show. We're going to take an hour of her show because we're doing a live remote from the Malba Car Show.
Yes.
That is September 9th.
Back to my homeland. Back to the old country. Malba.
We'll be on Boulevard and we'll... Oh, well, yeah, okay. I just got the guy's name whose house. We're going to be doing a live remote from there. That's going to be cool.
Just stand on the Whitestone Bridge and look one way and you'll see us there. Look at all the cars there. You'll find us. Yeah.
Can't miss us. Then a week after that, on the 16th, we're going to have Bob O'Gorman on. He's from Autolift.org. That is a body that they train and they sanction lift safety, And they basically, by then I will have taken and passed, I'm sure, my lift safety certification course. And
yeah, teacher's pet, we know.
Hey, I'm going to have to take it like everybody else, so you know how that goes. It's you got to pass.
Yeah, so. Well, you know what? A lot of people don't know how to use lifts. Let's face it.
Right.
You know, I go to shops and I just see them kick the legs under a car and pick it up and, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed up. You know, in the meantime, now the car's got all kinds of nasty stuff. So knowing how to use a lift safely and properly is definitely paramount, because that's a good way to get your butt killed.
Well, that'll be coming up in September. Until then, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, because we're Kim. Yeah, we're cutting into Kim again.
Thunder Road.
Sorry, Kim.
Stay tuned, and we'll be back next week. We'll see you then.
Bye. All right.